This episode of Behind the Bots is brought to you by FingerTech Robotics, North America's top manufacturer of combat robotics parts. If you're interested in building your first combat robot, check out FingerTech's Viper Kit, which includes everything you need to build a fully functional, competitive Antweight. FingerTech also carries a complete line of wheels, hubs, motors, and other components if you want to build a bot from the ground up. Check them out online at www.fingertechrobotics.com.
From the Mid-Hudson Valley Broadcast Studio at IBM Poughkeepsie, this is Behind the Bots, the podcast that brings you the stories of the builders behind BattleBots. I'm Chris.
I'm Luke.
I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Kyle.
And this week we are recording an abbreviated episode because our friend Curtis Warner from FingerTech Robotics has the flu and sadly had to reschedule.
Feel better, Curtis.
That said, we opened up a call-in line, and we have no idea who we're going to interview this week, so stay tuned. It's going to be a surprise for us, too.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong just opening it up to the public?
We'll wrap up the show with this week's Combat Robotics event calendar. If you like our show, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, CastBox, Player FM, and Podbean, and maybe Spitcher, too. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Behind the Bots, or check out our website at www.behindthebots.com. And as always, if you like what you hear, tell a friend. We really appreciate your support.
Or just call in.
Or call. Yeah, that's the best way to show your support right now. Call us at 555. No.
That was the most 1996 thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
That's why it was a joke.
Time for this week's Combat Robotics News. I have five news items for you this week.
Five.
First up, still no official announcement about season five of the show, although this week BattleBots did post that there were, quote, fun announcements to come in the future. Meanwhile, BattleBots is publishing all of its unaired basement fights on YouTube every Friday and every Monday. I am guessing, I'm anticipating that they are, you know, trying to get people excited about this new announcement, releasing all the basement fights. If I had to put money on it, I don't know for sure. I think that an announcement would be coming soon, maybe in the next couple of weeks, which would be fantastic. Next up, BuggleBots aired its grand finale on Monday, where one of six Beetleweight bots was crowned 2019 champion. Sadly, as we recorded this episode on Sunday, we have no idea who won, but congratulations to the builder all the same. Now, Kyle, I know you've been watching BuggleBots religiously. Any thoughts on these six bots and who you'd really like to see win on Monday?
Man, I mean, I'm an American patriot, so I'm hoping for a Thunderchild Nathan Franklin win. I don't think there's any hiding that from anyone in the robot community. They all know that I am a American robot enthusiast. But I will say it's a stacked competition. There are some really cool bots that are going to be fighting. I'm really excited to see Daedalus in there again. I'm excited to see Saw Loser. It's just going to be too much fun.
Now, is there a bot out of the six that you'd be really surprised if they won? Because, I mean, it's a pretty good field of bots. I mean, these six are super high quality.
No, anybody could win it. I mean, at this point, literally anybody could win it. There's some matchups that could happen that, you know, like, you know who's going to win that, but depending on how this whole thing goes, I have no idea who's going to win this thing, and I'm really excited to see how it goes down.
Awesome. 2019 Scorpios teammates Jen Herkenroder and Orion Beach are forming a new team and have applied to the 2020 season of BattleBots with a bot called Hijinx. They've launched a new Facebook page but have so far remained tight-lipped on the new bot's design or theme. That said, both Orion and Jen are longtime builders. Orion competed at RoboGames with a heavyweight called Electric Boogaloo, which took home second place at RoboGames 2012. More recently, he's competed on every season of the reboot, in 2015 with Rex, and in 2016, 2018, and 2019 with Scorpios. Jen has competed on two seasons of the reboot, in 2018 with my all-time favorite bot, Battle Royale with Cheese, and last year with Scorpios. Given their track record of success, I am really excited to see Hijinks. Hopefully we can see some CAD drawings or something in the very near future.
It's important to point out, Orion designed Scorpios. That's his baby. So it's interesting that he's leaving that project and going off to do something else. I'm really excited to see what these two are going to come up with.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. The team behind the hard-hitting British vertical disc spinner Cobalt is auctioning off its battle-damaged front wedge on eBay. It's made of military-grade Armox 600 steel. The auction ends on Saturday, January 25th, and bidding currently stands at £100.
Wow, that's pretty heavy for a front wedge.
Oh, you took my joke, you thief.
Proceeds are going to go to the team's 2020 budget. Now, interestingly, BattleBots itself promoted the auction, suggesting the team might very well be getting accepted into the coming season of the show.
Oh.
And finally, everyone's favorite BattleBots artist, Caleb Kempson, is taking commissions, so you can get a drawing of your favorite combat robot. Commissions range from £8 to £25, depending on what you're looking for. If you're interested, and I know that I certainly am, interested in getting some custom BattleBots art, email Caleb at calebkempson@gmail.com.
You can also follow him on Instagram at Caleb, which is C-A-L-E-B underscore robot underscore art.
Love it. And that's it for this week's news.
After the break, an impromptu interview with Extinguisher Captain John Flack.
This week on the podcast, we have a very special surprise guest, Extinguisher Captain John Flack. Hey, John.
Hello. It's nice to be here.
John, it is so incredible that you reached out to talk with us. We had a very late cancellation due to flu, and we put out a call on Facebook saying the first person to private message us can get on the show. And we were really freaked out that maybe somebody would just a rando would reach out. But we had wanted to get John on the show for so long that I am so happy that the stars came together.
Yeah.
And you're free this Sunday to talk to us. So
taking a break from his schoolwork to be with us.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm glad you have your priorities in order, John.
Yes, definitely.
John, I'd love to start with your schoolwork because it sounds really interesting. You've got a 3D printer running in the background. You're working on some stuff for high school. You know, can you talk about your project without revealing too much?
Yeah. So for our high school, it's an engineering high school. So since it's my senior year, we're doing a engineering and design project as our final capstone class or whatever. So our group is making a lithium battery fire extinguishing robot, which I don't think we know the name of it yet, but it's pretty much an autonomous robot, and it has a turret on top, and the turret seeks and finds the hottest lithium fire near it, and it'll put that out on its own.
What?
All of our jaws are dropped right now.
Okay. Well, wait, so there's not an operator. You can put it into a room or something, and it'll find the fire using sensors, go over there, and extinguish it on its own. Is that right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. That's really cool. How does BattleBots do it now? So, there's a lithium fire. They open up the doors, and then somebody comes in with a scuba mask or something on.
The hazmat suit.
The hazmat suit, and
yes.
Then, yeah.
Yeah, that's Trey.
Yeah.
That is Trey. Yeah, that's one of the founders.
Trey runs in and puts him out, yeah.
So they send in the co-founder of BattleBots to go put out the fire. It's very dangerous, though, lithium fires, right? Not only are they toxic, but, a lithium battery can explode, isn't that right?
Yeah, they're very unpredictable.
Yeah, so, I run a business that actually is one of the biggest in Florida where I recycle and then recharge and like recondition them, and then I resell them, and they actually use them in Tesla's houses and schools. But before we started this project, one of my like good clients, I guess, they messaged me with a YouTube video they took of their Tesla like just completely exploding. And they were like, oh, I guess I need more batteries. So that was part of like the reason we went with that robot. And then I don't know when Basement Fights come out, but there's some interesting stuff in one of those about it too.
Yeah.
How do you have time to be a student, build a battle bot, run a business, and everything else?
Yeah.
That's like insane.
I don't really know.
This like autonomous lithium extinguisher bot, is it like, what's the budget for a bot like this? I mean, like, how much does it cost to make this capstone project for your high school?
So our school gives us about $100. So pretty much the rest of it is actually, since the new extinguisher's a lot of custom new parts, we, as like the extinguisher team, we decided to actually donate our spare chassis, our spare drive, our spare ESCs, and like everything from that is being used kind of the same, but kind of differently for this project. So I think the only thing the school's actually has to buy is a infrared camera, a thermal imaging camera, and then a 50-gallon jug of CO2.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, are there commercial applications for this? Like, if you built it and you designed it, I mean, could you sell it to the Tesla factory or a lithium-ion battery factory for, like, Samsung or something like that in the future?
Yeah, so a lot of this class isn't actually just making a stupid product. A lot of it is you actually have to create a brand and actually market it. So like every quarter we do a presentation, and our first quarter presentation for the year was, what's the problem, who has the problem, why does it exist, and whatever. So a lot of it for us is, a lot of fire departments, especially down here, if there's a battery fire, the protocol is to leave it. And when you leave those, people get hurt.
Right.
They're just, I don't know the difference in temperatures exactly, but they burn, it's like 5 or 6 times hotter than a wood fire. And they'll actually, if a battery was burning and landed on asphalt, it'll actually melt the asphalt around it.
Wow.
I just feel like my high school was so horrible compared to this magical place that you go to school.
I'm thinking about the diorama I made my senior year.
Me too.
Yeah.
The styrofoam coliseum I built.
Yeah.
All I had to take was like anatomy. I didn't take physics. I didn't take chemistry. I don't know anything.
So, tell us more about this school. Like, I'm assuming it's like a magnet school or something. I mean, did you have to apply to get in? You know, how many kids go there? Like, what other types of projects are they working on?
So our school is a magnet school, yeah. And it's, I think, 8th grade. You had to, like, you didn't really apply, but you had to, like, want to choice in. So in our class, our senior class is about, I think it's 50 engineering kids, 50 CSIT type kids, like computer networking, 50 biomedical,
wow,
and then 25 game design type students. And it's, each one is its own like designated magnet section at our school, but we consider them all like a nice magnet family.
So even back in 8th grade, you knew that this is something that you wanted to pursue?
So my 8th grade school was also a magnet school for engineering. And I guess I went there because it's was 10 minutes from my dad's work, and it was a lot easier for my parents to pick me up from there than from our neighborhood school.
Wow. Yeah. I'd love to kind of like, so I know that at, you know, you're 17 and you're getting ready to go to college, and people must be asking you this all the time, but have you thought about majors? Have you thought about what you want to study in college and kind of what you want to do after you graduate?
Yeah. So college applications were due about November, I think it was, but I applied to 4 or 5 colleges for mechanical and electrical engineering. And then I've, since our magnet high school, I have a magnet high school. I also, they make me take dual enrollment classes. So I'm graduating with my AA already.
Wow.
So I just have, I think, 2 or 3 years of college instead of 6 or 7, I think.
I graduated high school and I had to go to AA.
So after you graduate in 2 or 3 years, have you thought about what you want to get into, you know, with engineering?
Not too much, but mostly something that's like, I guess I either want to do something really small scale where you get to be hands-on with the project, or something really big scale where it's something you'd recognize. It's more like either like a smaller engineer that does like more personalized things for customers, or like a big industrial scale, like a NASA or something like that.
Very cool. I also heard, so when we interviewed Andrea, she said that she helped write a college application referral letter. Is that right? Can you kind of tell us about your relationship with Andrea and how that college referral letter came about?
Yeah. So I think it was 2015 or so. I don't know. I was working on the first extinguisher, which was like my first robot ever. And we saw that the robot that I saw on TV a week or two ago was about an hour away doing like a meet and greet type thing. So I went there and talked to Andrea and them. And actually I have my screen picture on my phone is the picture we took 5 years ago still, but it was like, I showed her a bunch of pictures of it and she gave me her phone number so I could text her if I had questions and stuff. And then I guess since then we've kept in touch with, like, through Orlando Maker Faire, and then last year we saw each other at BattleBots again.
So wait, just keeping the math straight, John, this is 12-year-old John.
He was either 12 or 13.
Wow.
Wow. Working on your first heavyweight, going to meet another heavyweight builder.
All right, legendary. Cool. Legendary heavyweight builder, yeah. Could you take us back to the beginning? You know, can you talk about your early interest in robotics and combat robotics and BattleBots? You know, like, how did you first learn about the sport, and who were some of the early people that you met other than Andrea?
Yeah, so I kind of started out like, my dad had these weird robots at his work because he does like electronic recycling and he just recycled them. But we thought it'd be fun to like have a few of them in our, like, in the floor on my room and see how we could like make them do something cool. And we kind of thought like, well, these would be fun like to fight each other. And then we actually like, we had them all in my room fighting each other on the floor. But then like 6 months later, we were watching the TV and there was like giant versions of these things on the TV beating each other. So we didn't actually like realize it was a real sport until we saw it on TV. But then from there, it was like kind of looked into it and stuff. And then I guess we found there was I don't remember what it was called, but there was an event in Tampa and Earl Pancoast was there with, I think it was like Aggressive and Sam was there with Gruff, and they were, those two actually fought live, and I got Earl's, like, YouTube information. And this was about the time I started building the heavyweight extinguisher. So we were, I commented on his YouTube for a long time, and we went back and forth about things I should and shouldn't do because there were things that just don't work. And eventually he was just like, you've gone beyond what I can help you with. Just get a Facebook and I'll add you to this group. And so then I guess I got into a group, and the group had hundreds of these builders from the TV show and from other places that recognized what I was doing, I guess. Not like, and they recognized what I was doing and were helpful to making it a lot better for its first fights.
That's really cool. Do you remember your first fight? You know, when was the first time that you put kind of like Extinguisher version 1.0 in a box? And do you remember who you faced?
All right. So I remember the first time we put it in the box was a test video, and that's on my YouTube channel. But it was, I did a bunch of donuts, and we turned on the siren, and pretty much the building vacated. And then I hit a seam in the floor, and it just turned off. So after that, we pulled it out, and like, I didn't see anything wrong. But then I asked, I think it was Will, like Will Bales, and he looked at it, and he was like, "Oh, your battery came unplugged. So you should just put some tape around that so it doesn't do that again." But then we put it right back in for my first fight, which was against Gruff.
Wow.
The original Gruff grabbed onto the siren because the siren was externally mounted, and he chucked that really high and then got his fork shoved into the robot and unplugged the battery
again. No! Oh, man.
I feel like you're very fortunate to live in Florida, where there are so many really amazing builders. You know, you've got Will Bales, you know, you've got Gruff, you've got Captain Treaderator and Witch Doctor, Kraken. How often do you see the other builders, and how often are you talking with them? Like, is it really true that there's a Florida bot mafia, a group of builders who like kind of hang out and are social and everything together?
So I guess we all like follow each other and chat on Facebook about different things. There is a Florida bot mafia, but it's not like we have patches or weird stuff like that. We just it's just like a club. If you're in the Florida bot mafia, if you're a Florida builder, so there's special Facebook chats and whatever, and we talk about the upcoming events in Florida and that type of thing.
How difficult was it to start with a heavyweight? To build a 200 plus pound robot like right out of the gate versus starting with something smaller?
I guess for me it wasn't very hard. I guess because I started kind of building it, and then oddly for my birthday that year, my parents got me welding lessons, and
whoa,
I went to a place and they taught me how to weld, and then we brought the robot in, and they actually had a professional weld up the frame for us, which it wasn't a very good frame at all, but it was what we had, like scrap we had lying around. So they welded that all up, and it was a bit better than when it was screwed together with like wood screws and whatever. But it was, after that, it was like, oh, well, this drives. It has an 8-foot wedge on the front. I'm happy with it.
Parents out there, you don't need to get your kids the iPhone 11. Get them welding lessons.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, John, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Extinguisher and about specifically the siren, which seems like an integral part of the bot and its identity. What's the significance of that? Why did you start adding that to the bot? It's just a very interesting thing to devote resources to when you're, you know, worried about weight and armor and weaponry and all of that.
So, like, originally the robot was made out of an airplane wing. So the actual, like, if you see pictures of it, the green frame was actually, like, the rib of an airplane wing. So that, and then the front wedge was a piece of diamond plate from a fire truck that we flipped over and rolled. Which was, so it was like, well, this robot's made from a fire truck, and what we kind of like figured, you know, maybe it was a police helicopter, you know, maybe this wing was from like the back half of a police helicopter. So you're like, well, we could paint it bright red, because that's probably what it would have originally been painted like anyways. And then we just were going through the scrap, and we found this giant old siren, and we were like, that's going on. That has to be part of it. And I guess since then, it's really, that is our, that's like our voodoo fingers. You will hear us. That's like the iconic thing about it. It's a giant, extremely loud fire truck.
It's very cool. And I saw from your Facebook post that you have gone hipster with your siren and switched it over to brushless, much like the rest of the robot. So tell me about brushless siren engineering, how difficult that was, and what that gets you, what that benefits you on your bot.
So the original siren is a 1949 some model. It doesn't even have a model on it anymore, but it's about 55 pounds with about 40 pounds being in the, I think it's cast iron motor, and then the other 10 are in this like 10-pound rotor and a casing for the rotor that like physically chops the air in it and makes the sound. So for actually reinventing the siren, we kind of said, well, we want it to be as authentic as we can, because no one wants to hear like a cheap wind-up toy or something crappy. It's so I cut the motor off of the siren and then actually took the rotor and the casing, and those are at our school where we're actually CNC milling slots and hole patterns to fit the new brushless motor onto it so that we can actually use the 2020 brushless technology on something that was made in the 40s.
That's amazing.
That is so cool.
So, John, just to be clear, 1/5 of your original robot's weight was dedicated to the siren.
Yes.
That is dedication. I love that. I'm really interested in your experience as a first-time BattleBots competitor last year. What was it like showing up at BattleBots, unpacking your robot, getting your pit table set up? Can you tell us, like, you know, do you remember who you were sitting next to in the pits? Do you remember the types of people who you met who, you know, for the first time, maybe people from the show? Like, can you tell us some stories, like, from your experience as a first-timer to BattleBots last year?
Yeah, so last year, actually, we took Gruff and Captain Treaderator with us when we drove across. And then when we actually arrived, we were a couple days early. So we kind of just dropped our trailer off in the parking lot and went to our rental house for those days. But then kind of when filming started, we had the team Gruff and team Treaderator, they helped us unload the trailer, and we kind of pushed everything inside with all the other robots. It was like just a big horde of people unpacking suitcases. So once, I guess, everyone kind of settled up, and then there were free days, and we walked around and talked with all the different builders.
Were there builders who you remember having particularly good conversations with?
Most of the Florida people, for sure. Those were people I'd seen already 3 or 4 times before, so I had already had really good relationships with a lot of them. And then there was a few of the school teams were actually schools I had wanted to apply to or have applied to, sense, but we were, a lot of them, they oddly put all of the high school and college teams in a little clump together. So it was like, we were right next to Ribot and P1 and Uppercut.
Cool.
And Valkyrie. So cool. It was like, I kind of got to hang out with people a little closer to my age. Not really, still years apart, but it was nice to be able to have someone in school still that knew what they were doing.
Were you starstruck to see anybody, or had you already been in the scene long enough to kind of be past that?
So a lot of the people that I idolized before was like Andre and Will and those type of people. And I'd already actually met them, and they were like friends with us. So it was like, hey, what's going on? I know you and you're here and we're here too.
That probably took some of like the edge off, right? Because I imagine it's an overwhelming experience to walk into.
Yeah, it was definitely weird, because it was, even the builders I hadn't met before were people that I knew from Facebook that were, I either messaged a lot or talked to some or made fun of me on posts or whatever. But then just like while we were there, it was like, oh, we're having this problem. Well, I could just text, like, you know, I could do like I've done the last 4 or 5 years and, you know, text someone for help. But I didn't need to do that because they literally stood 10 feet away from us. So it was kind of weird adjusting to like person-to-person interactions instead of just looking at your phone for the answers. But it was nice for sure.
What was it like getting into the BattleBots, BattleBox for the first time? I mean, I feel just as a viewer, like super hyped when I see like, you know, kind of that first shot and it's that sweeping crane shot and, you know, the lights going up and everything. Like, does it feel the same when you're there up against the glass?
I guess the first couple days we were there, they actually had us do like a interview, like a one-on-one with Chris and Kenny and a few other guys that were part of the show. And we did that, but to get to the place that they were interviewing us, we had to walk next to the battle box. And it was like, it was before they set up all the lights and the cameras and all the fancy stuff. And it was like, oh, this is just a giant glass box. So like at first it was like, oh, this is just, you know, this is a Orlando Maker Faire bigger. But then like once we actually got in for our first fight, because I think our first fight was like one of the first three filming sessions or whatever they call those. So we went in and we were like, oh, this is just going to be that unlit, normal looking box. But it was like fancy all of a sudden. It was like they had these lights and cameras and people. And it was like it went from, oh, this event might be like a, you know, like a 2 or a 3 out of 10, like Orlando's type level for, Orlando's fun, but, you know, like on the fancy scale, Orlando, and this didn't really look very fancy at all.
Zhuzhed up. But then, it was zhuzhed up.
Yeah, they like opened their doors and it was like, oh, this is like, this looks like it does on TV. This is fancy. So it was like, I guess a lot scarier once it looked fancy.
Yeah.
It was a lot more of the, oh, this is actually the TV show. This isn't me playing with a bunch of my friends at a little robot fighting event.
Yeah. Tell us about your experience and kind of like your fights. You know, it must have been a huge learning curve, like there at BattleBots, getting these kind of full combat fights in from robots from around the world. When, you know, kind of like from the start to the event to the end of the event, you know, can you talk about some of the things that you learned on the way?
Yeah, so we actually learned this. The robot we took to BattleBots last year was actually like my first experience with a brushless motor. So we had gotten the thing driving before and kind of knew how to drive it, but we kind of didn't really get caught up on all the little, you need to do this and this setting does this. And like all the little perks that make the like the top 16 robots are what they are, because they know so many of the, if you do this, it's better than if you don't plug this in. Or so a lot of it was, we came with like a untuned box, and I guess we struggled to get it to be tuned. But I think by the end of our time there, it was pretty reliable. It wasn't a top 16 robot, but it was, by the end of the event, it was something that could put on a good show if you wanted it to. And then we took it home and broke it a crap ton on accident.
That's awesome.
And then it struggled at Orlando because I ran out of money for spares.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw you just a couple months ago in Orlando at Orlando Maker Faire, Robot Ruckus. That was such a great event. Like, this, it was our first time, and I know that you've now been for 3 years. I know that's kind of like the home of Extinguisher. You know, like, you really kind of tested it a lot there. Can you tell us kind of like your recap of 2019 Orlando Maker Faire? I know your little brother also had a bot that year.
Yeah, so I guess for this event, it was, I decided I was going to, like, we had a four-bar, because we were modular at BattleBots. We just, certain things got in the way of us putting other modules in and whatnot. Like our verticals batteries never showed up, and our launcher had a few leak issues where we just wouldn't hold any air. But for Ruckus, I decided, you know, the company that made this pneumatic cylinder for us really liked it. Like, they like being part of what we do. So I decided my number one goal for Ruckus is I'm going to use this launcher that I've designed, because it's not like the launcher was designed before BattleBots. I designed the launcher alongside the, like, when I was 12 with the first Extinguisher. So we had that launcher cut out and in my office for the last 4 or 5 years, and we never got to use it at BattleBots. So it upset us a little, but then we figured we're going to use this at Orlando, because why not? No one really... Orlando's not televised, so if we suck, it's not going to be like international news. This team's garbage. So you were like, just play around with it, right? And it was meh. We fought wedges, so it wasn't like they actually got on top of the flipper, but it was good enough. But
yeah.
I wanted to touch on some more, like, while we were at home, I was like, well, if I did this to drive, what would happen? And if I did this, and then if we did this and then drop it off a forklift, can it drive away? So we did a ton of reliability tests on the drivetrain, and I think it definitely showed at Orlando. I don't think that robot ever stopped moving, which obviously was our problem in season 4, was drive reliability was eh. So it was definitely nice that the last 6 months between the show and Orlando showed that we did a lot of testing improvements and whatever with what we already had. Because after BattleBots, I was like, I'm not putting more money into this robot. This thing was garbage. I'm going to start saving so that I can buy something that's actually going to work well. So we didn't actually spend any money from BattleBots.
So one of the really cool things about Orlando Maker Faire was that you got to share a pit space with your little brother and his robot, Extendy Boy. Can you talk a little bit about his idea for Extendy Boy and the process of competing at that same event, you know, with your brother?
Yeah, so the original thing was, I guess the main, like, target with that was he wanted to come with us to BattleBots if we were to go to if there were a new season or whatever, because he didn't really realize that, I guess he didn't realize we were actually going to the show, which is like, it's what most people think. You know, you say, oh yeah, we were on BattleBots. People are like, whoa, like the TV show? You're like, yeah, we were on that TV show. And people are like, oh, that's so cool. But they don't realize you don't connect the two until it happens, which is weird, but it's just how it works. So I guess when we got back, he was like, he wanted to help. I guess he didn't really, he thought what we were doing for the show was actually just me screwing around at work and then taking it to like a Orlando Maker Faire that was in California. So when we got back, he kind of wanted to help with something. So we had already had the TV robot, and I decided, you know, I'll fix it. I'll do some tests and whatever for Orlando again, so I have something, because I like going to that event. So we decided too, we would, since I don't want to put any money into that, and that robot was really complex compared to what I'd ever done before. So we just decided, well, I have Extinguisher V1. I could gut the guts out of that and you could make whatever you want. And he just said he wanted a box. And so like, I had stuff to make a box, but a box was boring. You know, there's already enough hate on the internet for four-wheel drive wedges, and to be building a four-wheel drive wedge heavyweight would just be a lot of crap on the internet. So we decided we'll make this thing a box, but I'm going to make this box 10 foot by 20 foot, and that's what's going to happen. So then after the previous year of Orlando, which was the premiere of Mammoth, the organizer Lilith actually instated a rule that was I don't remember the name, but we pretty much know it as the Mammoth Protocol, which is if a robot doesn't fit through the door, it doesn't fight. So I asked her, how big is your door? And she gave us a size. And we were like, all right, so we want to have a robot that's 10 foot by 15 foot and needs to fit through a 4x6 door. So we were thinking of how to do this. And we were like, I had giant pneumatic cylinders, and I had stock, but that was pneumatics, and that was a bit too complex for, like, a first build. But then we're just messing around, fidgeting with the toolboxes and opening and closing the drawers. We're like, we could make a giant door slide. And a giant door slide, you know, it gets small, so it fits in the door. But then you can still pull the drawer like 8 or 9 feet out, and it works. So you're like, let's take this, make it absolutely humongous. And then we had that robot.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I love the concept for Extendy Boy. I just think it's really, really very novel and delightful to watch. So I'm hoping that you take it to Orlando Maker Faire again. Before we let you go, did you want to give a shout out to anybody? Did you want to say hi to anyone who's in the listening audience?
I don't actually know who listens to your podcast.
Literally hundreds of thousands of people.
I thought you said off the air you had like six.
Whoa!
All right. John, that's true. We do have six.
We're going to need an extinguisher for that burn.
Oh, good. Good. That's good. Yeah, we have six listeners. The four of us listen, and then there's you. So. Yeah, and then we have one other.
One Leo. Rotating cast.
Just Leo.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, did you want to give a shout out to anybody?
Awesome sponsors that we have. They're pretty cool. You know, they let us build stupid robots and kill them, and they still give us money to fix them.
Yeah. Did you want to list out your sponsors? Yeah, for sure.
Oh, sure. We had SMT do all our really hard machining. Oh, we had a Big Blue Saw did all our water jet stuff, and that turned out really nice.
Yeah, I see.
And then
Quicksilver's Recycling
Creations welded it all together. So
yeah,
those three were pretty much how we built the first robots.
Yeah, so I'm looking at your BattleBots page. Quicksilver's Recycling Services, Rustic Steel Creations, Pneumatic Cylinders and Couplers Incorporated, Southern Manufacturing Technologies, Roth Metal Flake, Talking Rain, and Big Blue Saw. That's a lot of sponsors. That's like really good for a first time entry to BattleBots to get that many sponsors. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think Quicksilver Recycling's my dad's business. So they give us about an acre of space and I use that as my shop. So we have a cool test area, a safe box. Me and my grandpa went together and bought me some nice welders. So we have a nice weld shop in my warehouse spot now. So we're gearing up for a potential season 5. We haven't heard anything, but our shop is definitely ready for what we want to throw at it next season.
That's amazing. Well, this was such a delightful conversation, and I'm so glad that we were able to connect. I am so looking forward to seeing you and Extinguisher in the Battle Box again soon. So thanks again so much for talking with us.
Yeah, I'll see you guys at season 5 if Discovery decides they want us again. Hashtag we want season 5.
Hashtag we want season 5. Yes. Exactly. Thanks, John.
Thanks, John. And good luck on your school project.
I'll be sure to send you guys some photos. I know we're planning on, since the Extinguisher BattleBot sponsored the Extinguisher school project, we're definitely planning on posting some teasers and
cool
odd plugs for it on there.
That's amazing. Yeah, I can't wait to see this new robot. It sounds so, so cool.
Yeah.
I just hope it works.
Thanks, John.
After the break, we'll return with this week's Combat Robotics event calendar.
Welcome back from the break. Time for this week's Combat Robotics event calendar. This weekend, we've got events in Nevada, Florida, California, Washington State, and the UK. On Saturday in Las Vegas, it's Desert Dust Up, where they'll be fighting fairy weights, ant weights, and beetle weights. Also on Saturday in Miami, it's Robot Riot at RoboSlam, where they will be fighting fairy weights, ant weights, and beetle weights. Robot Riot, fun fact, is organized by Witch Doctor Captain Andrea Galately. On Saturday in Fullerton, California, it's SparkleCon Smash 7.
Best name ever.
Yeah. I love
the juxtaposition of words.
SparkleCon Smash 7. Where they will be fighting fairy weights, ant weights, plastic ant weights, and beetle weights. This event is being organized by Team Bad Kitty, which competed in 2019 with Mad Catter, and I hope
Martin Mason.
Yeah, I hope he brings his signature wrestler hype voice.
Martin Mason, off of the top rope. I tried.
On Saturday and Sunday in Monroe, Washington, it's War Hobby Expo 2020, where they will be fighting fairy weights, ant weights, plastic ant weights, beetle weights, 12-pound hobby weights, and 30-pound sportsman class robots. This is organized by Western Allied Robotics. And finally, on Sunday in Sherburn and Elmet, UK, it's Robo Dojo, where they will be fighting featherweights.
That's about it for us today. We'll be back in your feed next Wednesday with another mystery guest. See you then.
Bye.
Have a good week.
Bye-bye.